Accession number 19045, Reel 1.
Wiatkowska, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Poland.
Which place?
In the country. Very old country, very old part of country. But it was a village, name Ostrów. Ostrów.
Near which town or city?
Between Kalisz and Łódź.
Which year were you born?
1917.
You grow up and have your schooling at Ostrów?
No, I had to go to boarding school in the south of the country. It was convent school.
Can you tell me about your family background, what your father did for a living and that type of thing, please?
My father was a farmer, but he was highly educated, the same as his father. And our ancestor was educated in Padua, in Italy, where a lot of Polish people went.
And how old were you when you left school?
I was 18.
In 1935?
Yes, 1935. And then I went to college.
Where?
In Warsaw.
To do what?
It was gardening and some domestic science. Very useful part of knowledge for someone from my background.
How long were you at college for?
For 2 years. And then I found a quite interesting post of some sort of secretary. I just didn't want it to be dug in the village. I enjoyed my life in Warsaw. My parents were a little bit apprehensive about it, but they did agree. And there I met my husband and was married few months before the war.
What did your husband do?
My husband was a director and a partner of a large establishment.
A business?
Yes, it was a department store, the only one in Warsaw.
What was it called?
Bracia Jabłkowscy. I dislike talking about us.
So, when the Germans attacked on the 1st of September 1939, what were you doing? What do you remember about that?
Well, first of all, day before his attacking, my brother, who was in a high school, military school, perhaps not high, he was in Warsaw. He telephoned me if I could come. He was on practice in Warsaw to cover his suitcase. When I went there, he said, German planes were very high above Warsaw, were flying. The war will be on very shortly. And I took his suitcase. And they started to Germans started bombardment very early on the 1st. And my husband had to go to his unit, of course. And on the 7th, it was evacuation of some people from Warsaw because Germans were advancing. So we had small, inexpensive car, but it was almost new. So my husband offered to his unit. They were pleased. And there was another car which was too old to go to the needs of military. Two big ones, better ones, were taken. But there was still one small one, very small. So that was two, and my husband offered them, and they were very pleased to have two cars. And next day, on the 7th, we started to go together with his superior, which was major or whatever. And we went southeast, near Lwów, very nice place, near Lwów. And then from that place, we were told that women must go to another town further east. And I must admit, I cried very much. And we were taken to Tarnopol city on the very near Russia. With us went my husband's sister-in-law also. Her husband was taken also to take part in war. So they found us lodging in a very nice villa part of Tarnopol. In the same house, there were two Scotsmen with their dressed nicely in their kilt, and policemen standing in front of the entrance door. Place was full of people. People who were trying to escape Russian. We did go with my sister-in-law to military office to ask if there was any telephone from my husband. And one day in the morning, a high-ranked officer came out, climbed a high chair, and said to the people, crowd of people, the Russian entered Poland. They came as our supporters. Be quiet, don't go anywhere, just wait till they come here. I was not far from him, and he noticed me and my sister-in-law. We used to go to that office asking about telephone, and he said, you can't go. There is a chance of a big transportation of horses and cart for military, and they are going to the south. So we learned the place where to meet them, and they promised to take us. So we went to that place. And eventually, one night, second day of our traveling, suddenly there was a lot of firing. It was evening. We all had to jump into the
ditch.
Nearby building became in flame. That was the only light, and it lasted for some time till we got a message through that ditch from person to stop firing. So after some time, it was peaceful, and we had to come out and move forward. We came to a place where it was a big fire, and a heap of arms, and every man had to throw his arm there, and Russians were around. It was terrible sight, really dreadful. And then they separated officers, and we had to go with them and soldiers. We walked all through the night. Early in the morning, there was a stream, and we could wash our feet there. And eventually, we came to a big meadow, and there were many groups sitting down on that of military people. We were not allowed to move around. In our part, there was one wounded person, and in another part, there was a doctor. I wanted this doctor to help Russians immediately notice that. And he took his arm. I had to see that it's serious. Everyone started shouting at him. I had to withdraw. And the soldiers were locked in a large church of nearby place. And the officers and very few women in a school, which was outside this place. This place was called Burshtin.
Burshtin,
like amber. Burshtin. It is a small place near Zvochev. And next day, people in that small town got permission to bring us boiled hot water. So we had something to drink. Over there, in that very crowded school, I met someone I have known. He was on the first floor, looking through the window, very depressed. And he said, "I don't expect anything good will come out of it." He was very, very sad. And my husband's sister-in-law also met a doctor, someone not young. I haven't met him, but he was in the same building. And then we were told that we are going all to Russia. So my sister-in-law and me decided to escape. And eventually, they were going to the station, and we decided to escape. But before they went, I told them that I am going back to Warsaw, and they gave me a lot of messages for their families, which I accepted. Some Russians wanted us to go with the men, but some pretended not to see us. So we managed to get away. My sister-in-law, I was youngest in the family. She was older. She said, "I must throw away those letters because they will, once they find them, they will think we are spies." We were spies. And she was very perseverant. So I was very disappointed. But we had to go. There were three lorries going full already to go to Lvov. And they were full up. They didn't want it, us. But eventually, they did. They have taken. We went to Lvov. We managed to get address of a person, and that we were strangers to her, but she was wonderful. She accepted, she invited us, and we had wash and food. And it was shortly when Germans left that part of the country for Russians to take. And they opened shops, and they were queuing in the shops. I didn't have suitable shoes, so we asked them that we are going by foot. To Warsaw. All of them agreed that I should go first to buy shoes. It was very typical of people in Lvov or Vilna. They were wonderful people. So afterwards we went from Lvov to the first town, where we stopped for the night, and then another 30 or so kilometers and stopped for the night. And eventually we managed to see a horse and cart, a And the men agreed to take us. He was going to towards Warsaw. And in that way, we came near Warsaw, where my brother-in-law had a house. We went there, and there was a mother of my sister-in-law looking after this place. So we had bath and a meal, and she was very happy to see her only daughter alive. And the next day we went to Warsaw. My flat wasn't damaged except glass, windows. Warsaw was taken by Germans, and we started not quite normal existence. Yes, my father-in-law was very helpful, so he sent specialists who would do windows and everything. Quite soon afterwards, I was told that my husband's sport club, is being taken by Germans. It was over the river, and he had his rowing boat there. So I took a man, according to my father-in-law advice, and no one had any car or anything, but bicycles were changed according to needs. So that boat was placed on a bicycle prepared for loading. We went to the edge of Vistula. He loaded this quite a large boat, and we were climbing up to center of the city. On the way, a German in uniform came to us asking, "What is it?" And the Warsaw men, as always full of tricks, said, "Oh, it's nothing, it's only English submarine." Very typical of people during the war. Everyone roared around, and he withdrew. He didn't take that submarine. And of course, difficulties were with food, but very soon, people from the country were bringing food to the city. It was a black market because there was nothing for us except few items. And I was trying, my first effort was to trace where is my husband. And there was no news at all. But there were some There were from time to time we heard of my husband's surname about his activities not far from Warsaw, and eventually his cousin had possibility of getting the ambulance. We went to a town, but there was no one of his name, but someone was wounded who knew, met my husband's brother. When next time they said about some name, the same name in the same part, I went and came across a woman who told me the place was burned, many men were killed. Germans were so furious because they lost so many of their soldiers that they had burned the place. And over there, the woman who was told by Germans to burn killed people said one was better dressed, and I buried him separately. We went there and started exhumation immediately, and I recognized that was his younger brother, Thomas, who was given task to stop or delay Germans.
What was your husband's Christian name?
Zbigniew. And so I asked immediately to make a
cross.
Coffin. But it was near Polizeistunde. Evening, we had to go back. And soon after, card from my husband arrived from Hungary. He was stopped there. They were very kind people. They allow people to disappear, Hungarians. So he eventually went through Yugoslavia to Middle East, and he joined Polish forces there.